Monster Movie Media presents.
Hello and welcome to episode 53 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and I'm joined right at the top of the show by the evil queen of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart.
Hello, citizens of the Creepy Kingdom. I'm so happy to be here.
Yay!
I feel like it's been forever.
Yeah.
It's been a whole week.
It's been a whole week. I mean, that's a whole 7 days, but you're
back. That is a whole 7 days without being in the Creepy Kingdom, and that is sad.
That is sad, but you're back, and we're here. And all the good, creepy things are coming your way. As such, we are going to be taking a look at the creepiest parts of the classic Disneyland and now extinct Walt Disney World attraction, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Really? Because I feel like we're going to be taking a look at all of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and trying to find some creepy stuff.
You don't think it's creepy?
Well, I don't think it's a very creepy ride.
Interesting.
I don't. But obviously, we'll talk about that in the... I think it's a good ride, especially the Disneyland one. But I don't think it's very creepy. Like, I don't think it's super creepy. I don't think it's, like, Snow White's Scary Adventures creepy.
No, that's one of the creepiest rides of all time.
Right?
But we're not talking about that right now. They're not all tens, Roxy.
My bad. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm in a mood today.
Well, without any further ado... Let's begin. All right, now let's talk about Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. But I feel like we can't really get into it without taking a look back at the source material. Because most people are not that familiar with it.
I think that's a very good idea. I am one of those people that is not very familiar with it. I think I've seen The Wind in the Willows like twice. So I've been on the ride a bunch of times, but I don't really remember the movie all that well.
Well, it is from The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad from 1949, which was a Disney film... That was a package film. There's a whole bunch of films released during the 40s that Disney released this way, but this was the last one. And of course, it matches The Wind in the Willows with Sleepy Hollow, which that kind of overshadows the Mr. Toad segment in everyone's mind.
Yeah, because I've seen Sleepy Hollow a ton of times. Like, I know that movie really well, but I don't know, Mr. Toad. We're not friends.
They were kind of released separately, so that it is possible. They were screened on television separately, and I believe they were released on VHS separately as well. So it's very possible to have only seen the other one more than the other one. But we're not going to get too deep into that film, or that package film. That's an episode upon itself. But I just wanted to kind of go through it a little bit, so as it pertains to the ride, so people know what's up.
School us, James.
All right.
Us to school.
Let's go to school. So Mr. Toad is a wealthy toad that lives in Toad Hall.
Good for him. Wouldn't we all like to be wealthy toads?
Yes, we would. And he he kind of gets into trouble a lot. The film starts off with him. I forget what they exactly called it, but riding a horse and buggy, and he was kind of going crazy. He had some sort of buggy mania. I don't know if that's what they called it or not. But but you know, I could tell he liked riding fast and being reckless and enjoying himself. And the Wind in the Willows takes place in the early 1900s. So while he's off on one of his wild rides, he sees one of the first versions of motor cars, and he loses it. He has to have it. He has to ride it. So what happens is that he gets motor mania. And that's why when you see the shot of him or a drawing of him with like the circles in his eyes, that's when he has motor mania, and he has to drive a motor car.
So Mr. Toad has like an obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yes.
We'll break it down here. Okay. All right. Cool.
He certainly does. So he goes off to try to get a motor car. He sees a motor car parked outside of a bar. So, or pub, or whatever it's called. And he goes in the pub, and it's filled with these weasels. And I think he saw the weasels go in there, so he knew that he thought the car belonged to them. And there's a kind of a shifty bartender in there as well. But he offers a trade for the motor car. He hands over the deed to Toad Hall for their motor car. Because that's how bad his motor mania is. So he takes the car and he's off on a wild ride. But what he did not realize is that the weasels stole the car. So he's driving a stolen car and the police start chasing after him. And eventually he ditches the car and hops on a train. And the train's going fast. He keeps throwing coal in there, so it keeps going. The police are chasing him. And they start shooting at him. He's dodging bullets in this Disney film.
Wow.
Eventually,
I'm not sure I'd really trust anybody that lives in this world of the Wind in the Willows here.
No.
They don't seem to be very level-headed in this world.
Not at all. So eventually he gets caught, and he goes on trial. And then he goes on, and that's when you learn as the viewer what happened in the bar, because he just kind of goes in and then comes out with the car and then and then leaves real quick. So that they traded the car for the deed, didn't know it was stolen, blah blah blah. And they bring a witness, the bartender, in, and then the bartender says yes or no, he's lying. He said he knew it was stolen. He asked me if he wanted to buy a stolen car. And then it's like, oh, you're going to jail. So he gets thrown into prison. And eventually his friends break him out. And they realize that they just have to break back into Toad Hall and get the deed from the bartender. And then everything go back to normal. So that's essentially what happens in The Wind of the Willows.
No wonder I didn't watch this movie more than a couple times. This movie makes no sense at all.
I loved it. I think it's awesome, personally.
Okay. All right. I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to watch it again to see if I like it more. But it just sounds like pure nonsense.
Oh, you know.
Goodness.
I mean, the ride is very great representation of the movie. Mr. Toad is awesome. And like I said, I'm not going to get too deep into things, but it's kind of funny because his friends are the people that kept track of his money because he was being reckless, spending money and breaking stuff. There was comment about how Mr. Toad was out of control of his money, and he needed to be, held back and all that. And apparently that was a commentary on what Roy Disney was thinking of Walt at that time. So
interesting.
So that's kind of funny.
It sounds to me like Mr. Toad might need to be medicated.
He's got motor mania.
He's got something.
Another really sweet thing, and I keep talking about the movie, but we'll move on. Well, it relates because it's in the ride as well, is that the weasels were, you could see them, they're definitely inspiration for the weasels in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I was going to ask that. I was going to say, are these the same weasels? Did they just kick it in Toontown until, like, they decided to work for, like, the judge?
Probably, yeah. Now, I bring this up a lot when we talk about stuff from the 40s on the show. And the writers of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like, incorporated pretty much every Disney thing from the 40s somewhere in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And to make it seem more and more like the Toontown was real in the 40s. Like, and this is another case for that.
It's awesome.
So, I mean, as I saw them, I'm like, wow, they're weasels. They're kind of dressed similar. They don't really talk. So they don't have that, you know, those wacky voices.
Totally.
But the weasels are in two attractions in Disneyland. So, so there's something fun right there.
So let's go to Disneyland.
Alrighty.
I said off we go. Off. I was going to say, let's take it, like hop on our magic carpet. But in this case, we should hop in our motor car and go to Disneyland.
Let's get motor mania. All right. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is a dark ride at Disneyland Park. It's one of the few remaining attractions that was operational on the park's opening day in 1955, although the current version of the ride opened in 1983. The ride is based on Disney's adaptation of The Wind in the Willows. It is currently operating in Fantasyland. And just a little side note, I couldn't find a real record of the major differences of the opening day attraction and from the 83 Fantasyland makeover, besides really the facade, and that they made the track longer. So, but I couldn't really get a record of what the actual differences were. So, obviously they were not major, besides the facade, because the original facade, all Fantasyland attractions look like tournament tents.
Yeah. Well, if there's anyone out there who is old enough to remember Mr. Toad's Wild Ride before 1983, send us an email, because we would love to hear what the differences are.
Yes, yes. My first trip to Disneyland was 1987, so
I did not. I think mine was like 82 or 83, so.
So you were there. So what's up, Roxy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, little baby Roxy. She remembers. No. No.
And
I'm lucky I remember the Disney World version.
Well, the facade is, instead of a tournament tent, now is Toad Hall.
And as far as queues before Disney started doing interactive queues and really, really well-themed queues, like, you know, I think that basically started with, like, with Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. Mm-hmm. But if we're counting the queues that were done before that, Mr. Toad has a really good one. It's really well themed. It's covered and it's super pretty. It's nice and shady on a hot day. It's pretty. It's a good queue. You know, for not being one of the fully like interactive.
You talk about the outdoor section?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As opposed to like, you know, Disney World's, how theirs used to be, which was just kind of crap. But
well, Disney World's kept the tournament look up until a few years ago. So,
yep. But yeah, no, I love the facade. I love the the Toad Hall facade and the outdoor queue to Mr. Toad's. I think it's really cool. And when you pass the outdoor queue, you enter a recreation of Toad Hall, passing by artistic works commemorating characters from The Wind in the Willows. There's a large mural with shows like the adventures of Toad in his motor car, foreshadowing various scenes in the ride.
Spoiler alert.
And then you get in a miniature early 1900s multicolored motor car. And they're all named after characters from the film. So you'll either be in Mr. Toad, Toadie, Ratty, Moly, McBadger, Cyril, Winky, or Weasel.
And I mean, Weasel, there's weasels.
Right? No, they only get one.
Okay.
Apparently, there's only one important weasel because he got a car named after
him. All right, yes. Yeah, I love it. It's funny, the same with Winnie the Pooh. I love these worlds where the characters' names are just what they are. There can only be one of them.
Right? Ever. ever.
Which Winnie the Pooh?
There's only one owl in the entire Pooh world.
That's right. We're going to be talking about Winnie the Pooh a little bit later. That's a little foreshadowing there. So passengers begin their journey by crashing into a library where McBadger is seen teetering atop of a ladder with a stack of books. Then they crash through the fireplace where fiber optic effects simulate scattering embers on the floor. Narrowly avoiding a falling suit of armor, the passengers break through a set of doors to find the interior hallway of Toad Hall in disarray. As weasels swing from the chandeliers, guests enter the dining room where Molly is eating dinner and gets knocked aside. Okay, so you mean to tell me that everything I just said there, there's nothing creepy about it?
I don't know. I just don't think it's a creepy ride. I'm sorry. I really am. But I have to say that the part with the fireplace with the fiber optics in the ground is one of my favorite parts of the ride. It's like, it's kind of like subdued and not everybody notices it, you know, but when you're standing in line inside and you look, I think that effect is just really, really neat.
No, it's awesome.
With the fiber optic embers on the ground. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're thrown into danger immediately. Well, I'm going to take a step back, first of all, and say something about the ride that has probably been one of its major criticisms I've heard is the lack of animatronics and the fact that all these characters are basically cardboard flats.
Mm-hmm.
And so... there are some animatronics in here, but mostly they're all cardboard flats. And I never looked at that as a negative. In fact, I feel like I'm sure the choice to do it was financial, but I feel like that style is kind of similar to multi-plane animation, which, I mean, it's basically just different flat panels from various lengths to give the impression of depth. That's how Disney made, you know, starting with, I'm sure that happened in Snow White, but I think, I know for sure it's in Pinocchio. That's how they get those wide scopes and looks like you're swooping in and going by trees. And cause basically the camera zooming in past all these different planes. That's how the multi-plane camera. So it's kind of like, instead of going into the world where these characters exist, it's kind of like you actually went into a cartoon.
Yeah, like you're in the movie.
Yeah.
And I have to say, a few years ago, I don't remember what year it was now, but Mr. Toad went down for refurb for a while. And they went in and they repainted everything and they replaced the lights and they did all that. Before they did that, it was a cute ride, and it was one of those things where you went through and you're like, wow, you know, this is cool because it was here on opening day and whatnot, but this is obviously really dated.
Right.
You know, even dated 1983 dated.
Right.
But since the refurb, even though they didn't put in modern effects and they didn't put in animatronics and stuff like that, the ride just looks really good. You know, I think it's a good looking ride now, even though it's still those cardboard cutouts. The way that they did it, you're right. It feels like you are in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really neat. And it's something that isn't normal for a ride at Disneyland. You know, there's lots of dark rides that have animatronics and full scenes and everything moves and stuff. And this is just kind of more classic.
Yeah, no, for sure. But taking that out of it, I mean, there's no real sense of danger here, but you know, books almost fall on you. You go through a fireplace. What else happens?
I love the fireplace part. I just really like the fireplace part. In fact, later on when we talk about Disney World, I'll bring that up again, the fireplace part.
Okay.
But back to Disneyland.
Yeah, back to Disneyland. Suit armor almost falls on you and the weasels all around it. And now I can explain a little bit why the weasels are taking over, because that's a scene right out of the movie when they go back into Toad Hall.
And the weasels have just wrecked shop.
Yep. so even though you're not, you know, it's funny because it's like they're all senses of danger. But since they're flats, you're kind of like you never really feel like danger is coming, which I think is a great bait and switch for what happens later on in the ride.
Right. Upon leaving Toad Hall, guests travel through the countryside, passing Ratty's house, aggravating policemen, and terrifying a farmer and his sheep. Making a right turn, guests head for the docks and get the impression their car will plunge into the river, but quickly make a sharp turn in a different direction and enter a warehouse full of barrels and crates containing explosives. Guests crash through a brick wall as the warehouse's contents explode. They then head out to the streets of London, narrowly avoiding a collision with a delivery truck, and enter Winky's pub, where Winky the bartender holds two beer mugs. He ducks down, leaving the mug spinning in the air.
Yeah, kind of as though like it's like cartoon, you know, physics.
Yeah, like when the coyote would go off the edge.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things I love about this ride is that even though it's super two-dimensional and you don't feel like you're in the world, it goes through a lot. Mm-hmm. Like it goes really fast, but there's a lot of stuff that it goes through. I think it looks really, really cool, and it definitely gives you that crazy feeling.
Yeah, I think things happen so fast because if it was slow, then you wouldn't feel like you're really moving that fast.
Totally. The docks, the part where you're on the docks.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in this ride is really simple. All of the effects are really simple but super effective. Like, because when you get to the part on the docks, your car starts to bounce.
Right.
Like, you're actually on slats of wood. And it's another one of those little things about the ride that I really, really like because it's such a simple effect, but it's so effective.
Right.
Although I never really got the impression that we were going to like go off the side. I didn't know that was the impression you're supposed to get. So maybe I'm paying too much attention to how fun it is to bounce.
Another interesting thing too, I noticed again while watching the ride through videos is, you know, a lot of the scenes, as you think about it, you're like, how did they go from one scene to another one? There's like, they look nothing alike. it's weird. But what I realized is a lot of like dark spaces where you just, it's kind of like almost pitch black between the scenes. And it's not something I necessarily notice in other attractions.
No. Other attractions kind of blend seamlessly into each other.
Yeah, cheated there. I don't know if it's a cheat or not. I mean, it's...
Well, it's a simple ride.
Right. I mean, I never noticed it while on the ride. I was just... As I was watching...
No, me either.
As I was watching the ride through again, I was like, wow, there's so many, like, dark spots here. It's just... And, you know, I guess another thing, too, things happen so fast that you just comprehended what just happened to you and you're already in something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that's a lot different from the other Fantasyland dark rides, where you kind of spend, you have a moment to take in what's going on around you pretty much at all times.
Yep.
In most rides, I think, Fantasyland dark rides. But...
I agree. Well, and just the dark rides in general, because like Monsters, Inc., you know, it's a very nice kind of ride through town.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything kind of blends into each other.
Right, right.
You really know what's going on. And in this ride, by the time you realize what's going on, you're like going under a bridge where sheep might fall on you. Like, why were we bouncing? Were we on a dock? Where are we?
Well, as we continue on through the ride, passengers then enter Town Square, where the cars wreak havoc on the citizens. A working fountain featuring Toad and Cyril Proudbottom stands in the center of town. Behind the statue is one of Lady Justice peeking out from behind her blindfold. Next, guests enter a juryless courtroom where the writers are proclaimed to be guilty by a judge based on the film's prosecutor for the Crown. The cars then enter what is presumed to be a dark prison cell before abruptly turning right and landing on railroad tracks. The vehicles bounce along the tracks in dark before colliding head-on with an oncoming train.
Okay. First of all, I've never understood how you got from the courtroom to the train tracks. Like,
well, it's prison. You go to jail to the train tracks.
That does not make any sense to me. I didn't know the story in the movie, so, like, I didn't... I guess I never really thought about the fact that he goes to jail and then they break him out. And, right. like, just like we were just talking about how the scenes are not seamless, but everything else, I kind of feel like, okay, you know, I'm on the docks and now I'm in town and that's okay. That makes sense. We took a right. We went into town. But something about the jump from guilty to jail to railroad, like, never sat right with me. I was like, why am I about to be hit by a train? What, aren't I in jail? I'm so confused.
I can honestly say, growing up riding this ride, I never comprehended any type of narrative at all at any point. Like, it was just random stuff.
I feel like my mind wants to rationalize it, and it can rationalize almost the whole thing except for the jump from jail into the train. Like, it never... But speaking of the train, yes, that is hands down one of the coolest effects in the ride. Probably the coolest effect in the ride.
I mean, that's... that. I did a little research when I was trying to figure out stuff that was originally that had changed for the 83, and I thought maybe that had been something new, but that is an opening day effect that is still awesome.
It's so effective. And it's just dark and sounds and a light above your head on a track, basically. But it's still effective to this day. I can't even imagine what the people in 1955 thought of that.
Oh yeah, you know? There's no precedent. Especially I'm thinking of the rides that were opening day attractions. That had to have been one of the top effects of the entire park about what was opening on opening day.
Absolutely. You know, I will bet people walked out off of that ride and were just blown away by that train effect.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I rode it, it definitely got me. I was just like, it's so drastically different from the rest of the ride. And that's why I was talking about the bait and switch, where you're like, oh, I'm just being tossed around a little bit and all these cartoony things are in my face. And then what appears to be a real train comes at you. I don't think that the Imagineers that made it, they weren't Imagineers yet, the Woodway Enterprise workers, had any idea how effective they was. They probably thought that it wasn't going to be effective at all. It's like a happy accident or something.
Right? It's such a cool effect. Like, this ride is so simple and full of such cool effects that, you know, and then, of course, we get to the next scene, which I love. Just throwing it out there. So then, once we collide head on with the train, we arrive at the ride's final scene, a tongue-in-cheek depiction of hell not inspired by any scene in the movie or book. The entire room is heated, and the scenery features small devils who bounce up and down. Passengers also see a demon who resembles the judge from the courtroom scene. Near the end of the scene, a towering green dragon emerges and attempts to burn the riders to a crisp. A glowing light is seen at the back of his throat, and choking, coughing noises are heard while the motor car speeds away. Granted a reprieve, the passengers eventually escape to the ride's loading and unloading area, where they disembark. You go to hell.
You go to hell on a Disneyland attraction.
Okay, you go to hell. You're hit by a train. We can assume, like, you die.
Yeah.
Because how else would you get there?
Yeah,
like,
you died.
Just got hit by a train.
You died.
You die. And you go to hell. Okay? Like, while I don't think that the ride is creepy at all, it is certainly dark.
How is that not creepy?
Okay, I don't know. I think it's creepy. I like it.
Well, so that's when it's creepy and negative also.
No, I'm not saying the creepy is negative. I don't know, James. Okay. I find Snow White's Scary Adventure creepy, and I do not find Mr. Toad's Wild Ride creepy. Maybe it's because of, like, we're talking about that it's that 2D cardboard, you know, it's very tongue in cheek, like they said in the description, but I don't find it creepy. I love the fact that you die and go to hell. Who thought of that? In a happy, oh my God, kid friendly place like Disneyland, someone decided that the passenger should die and go to hell.
Well, and then that also implies that the narrative of the ride is that if you act recklessly, you have to pay the consequences for it.
Yeah. Yeah. They are saying that Toad and you as Toad are bad people. Mm-hmm. If you are bad, you go to hell. It's a hell of a lesson for little kids.
One thing that's very interesting, which I never realized while we're writing it, but you know, watching the playback, watching the write-through videos, is the music is so happy.
Maybe that's the other reason I don't find it creepy. I don't know, but it is. You're right.
That makes it even more. That makes it super creepy to me. I mean, the little devils are just like, nya, 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 nya. It might as well be just saying that because of the way they bounce their head and they're. And the music it's is so happy.
If you ask me while we're in Disneyland or whenever, you know, to name some of my favorite rides, Toad never comes up. You know, it's never something that what do you have to do when you go to Disneyland? I have to ride Mr. Toad. No, never. But every time I ride it, I remember how much I like it.
Mm-hmm. I had a little bit different perspective last time we wrote it together because I hadn't been on it in 15 years. So I was really eager to write it. And, a lot of the details were not fresh in my mind. But I would say that I'd had when I was growing up going there, I had the same, you know, outlook on it. I'd be like, yeah, you know, we'll do Toad. It's right there. And then after you get off the ride, I was like, oh, it's so awesome. I love it. You
know? Yeah. And it's like every time we write it, every time, including this time that we wrote it, it's because we're standing in Fantasyland and we're looking at the line for Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And it's hell of long. And we've already been on Snow White and we've already been on Pinocchio. And it's like, well, what should we do, guys? Mr. Toad? Yeah, we could Toad. Okay, let's go, you know? And it's just, it's always one of those things. It's like, yeah, why not? We're standing right here. We may as well do it. And then you do it, and you're like, God, I forgot how cool a ride this is.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, yeah. I mean, I think maybe the entire ride might not be creepy, but I think the fact that you die and go to hell.
Okay.
And then a dragon tries to burn you to a crisp.
Yeah, and where did that all come from?
That has nothing to do with the film.
It has nothing to do with the film. Someone just decided, and if we don't know who, it'd be great if anybody knew who. I'd like to give them props. But someone decided at the end of this ride, you should die, and you should go to hell, and a dragon should eat you. Dude, what were you on? Seriously. What were you on that made you decide that this is how the ride should end? And what was everyone else on that, dude, that's an awesome idea. Forget the movie. We don't need it. Throw it out the window.
I know that Claude Coates was involved in the creation of this attraction. So we can give him some props.
Ooh, go, Coates. Good job.
So this ride is still there waiting for you. But one place where it was and where it is no longer waiting for you at all. He's in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom.
That's right. It's no longer there, which some people were very upset about.
Oh, we'll get to that. But let's take a look back at the attraction that was and how it's different, because it is quite different, I might say, than its predecessor.
It is. It really is. So Mr. Toad's Wild Ride was one of the Magic Kingdom's opening day attractions. In 1971, which is cool. It's an opening day attraction in both parks. That's kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was modeled after the Disneyland attraction, it had some unique characteristics that set it apart from its California counterpart. The most obvious was the Florida incarnation had two separate boarding areas. The vehicles, in the form of jalopies, in each boarding area were on separate tracks that followed different paths, so riders could get a slightly different ride depending on where they boarded.
Like its counterpart Disneyland, it was not a thrill ride, but it was not slow and quiet like most dark rides. It makes sudden turns, and the vehicle often would move full speed towards an obstacle, which would move out of the way at the last second. At one point, the vehicles on different tracks would head directly towards each other, giving the sense of an oncoming collision. It was a very stylized attraction and resembled more of a cartoon than any other Disney ride. It contained highly ornate plywood characters and sets that are reminiscent of multi-plane camera work.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride closed on September 7th, 1998. It was replaced with the Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, While minor tributes to the ride can be found in Disney World, including paintings of Mr. Toad and Molly within the Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh attraction, and a statue of Mr. Toad in a pet cemetery outside of the Haunted Mansion, traces of the Wind in the Willows characters within Walt Disney World are minimal.
So, and to be specific, the Mr. Toad inside Winnie the Pooh is pretty cool because it's a picture of Al and Mr. Toad. And Mr. Toad is handing over the deed to Al, which is a direct throwback to the film, since it's all about getting the deed back to Toad Hall.
I think that's really neat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that they did that. I love that they, you know, not only did they play off the movie like that, but that it's just a little symbolism of Toad Hall turning into Winnie the Pooh. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, no, it's a little Easter egg. And yeah, the deed thing, I didn't realize how important it was until I rewatched the film. And I was like, then I'm like, that's an Easter egg within an Easter egg, really. Because most people haven't watched the movie.
Totally.
But what we really need to talk about here is the relevance of the closing of this ride. It was the first internet age fan outcry over a Disney park attraction closing.
In 1998, the internet was still new. And it was certainly not like it is today. But the fandom, you know, people in fandoms were just starting to realize that they could use the internet to further their agendas, I guess is a good way to put it.
Right.
And so some people, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the website and I can't stop laughing.
The website just basically stopped and died in 1998.
It did. It is a website about Toad Hall, about saving Mr. Toad's wild ride. And it's a very 90s website. I mean, it is just as 90s can get. But the banner on the top says, "We tried to save Mr. Toad's wild ride, but Eisner doesn't care about you." That is how they are opening this website. And basically it's about the fact that Winnie the Pooh is going to replace Mr. Toad's Wild Ride in the Magic Kingdom, and this group of people think that it's wrong.
There's great words. You go down there. "The end is here. What looks like the Rat Fink Eisner has finally done it. Mr. Toad had his wild ride on Labor Day, September 7th, 1998.
Rat Fink Eisner, y'all.
Thanks to everyone who came out and showed they care more about Walt Disney World than the evil corporate weasels who control its destiny. We did our best, but they just don't care about you."
How melodramatic can you be? Up higher. I'm just going to read this paragraph because I love this. "While a Winnie the Pooh ride has a definite place in Walt Disney World, it is not necessary to kill Mr. Toad to make room for Pooh. Please let Disney know that they should have put the Pooh ride somewhere else. Were it not for the pure greed of the Disney company, Mr. Toad and Pooh could have lived in harmony. The fight's not over until Disney understands what it has done wrong. Please help us swat them in the rump with the rolled up newspaper of justice." Bad Disney, bad Disney. Who the heck wrote this?
Well,
this person is the biggest Mr. Toad fan ever.
Yeah, like his whole house is Mr. Toad. He's all packed
out. He lives in Toad Hall. Okay, I hope that at some point in the future I get to use the term, "Please help us swat them in the rump with the rolled up newspaper of justice."
I'm sure you will on this show at least.
Oh, I can't. I literally can't even.
Well, you and I had a little conversation before we were recording a little bit about fan reaction to, changes in the parks. And that's definitely a topic, you know, all for its own episode.
That's for sure.
But, you know, it's like if I heard this news, I'm like, oh, I don't want that to close. I love that ride. You know, I can understand that sentiment. But this is just so melodramatic that I'm almost glad it's closed.
Right. I can like, I can see this person like going to Disney World and chaining themselves to Mr. Toad's Wild Ride in protest.
Now, I couldn't find any record of it, but I had heard of not chaining, but, you know, quiet protests called Toad-ins. Where I guess a whole bunch of Mr. Toad fans sat outside of the ride before it closed or whatever. You know, I'm not quite sure. But it's just kind of like, it's hard to be sympathetic. Also, this would be for another show as well. But, you know, I feel that Winnie the Pooh, the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh attraction, is one of the creepiest rides at Walt Disney World.
That is definitely for another show.
Yeah, so I love that ride. You know, I wouldn't even say like I'm like super obsessed with Winnie the Pooh or anything. I definitely, you know, like the characters from my childhood or something. But that, you know, the first time I went on it, it blindsided me with how creepy it was. I was expecting it to be very, very lighthearted. And I do not believe that it is at all. It can be interpreted that way, sure. But I think it's a fine ride. Is it better than Mr. Toad's Wild Ride? I don't know. Probably not, but...
You know, if Mr. Toad's Wild Ride had gotten, you know... And this person is right. You know, this person is absolutely right. They could have refurbed Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and given it a little update and put Winnie the Pooh somewhere else. Totally. Right. Absolutely. But they didn't. So move on. Like, go to Disneyland.
Right. I mean, there's that, you know, and it's like, for most people too, I mean, Mr. Toad is one of those rides that you're like, I can't believe this is still open because people don't know what it is.
Nobody knows. Nobody's seen the movie. I'm a huge Disney fan. Huge. You guys, you know how big a Disney nerd I am, but I haven't seen Wind in the Willows like since I was a kid. I do like the ride.
Yes, it is fun. Well, let's just go through a little bit what was on the Magic Kingdom version.
Okay. So there were two tracks. You had track one and track two. Track one was the right side and track two was the left side. So actually, before we go on, I want to point out I lived in Orlando in 1998. I moved there in January. So I rode Mr. Toad's Wild Ride quite a few times because I went to Disney World every day. It's all I did while I lived in Orlando. Right. I got an annual pass and I went to Disney World every day. So I was there the year that it closed.
So why weren't you part of this protest? You could have saved the ride.
By September, I had already moved back to California.
Oh, fine.
And because I did not give a crap. I did not give a crap. I'm sorry. I didn't have the passion over Mr. Toad's Wild Ride in the Magic Kingdom to be a part of this protest. I never did a toad in. I did not sit and protest Mr. Toad being closed.
What were you doing? You literally had nothing else to do.
I know. I'm bad. Bad, Roxy, bad. Like, I'm so sorry. I should be swatted in the room. I'm sorry.
People say that our show sounds like we're laughing and that we're high all the time.
I'm so sorry, you guys. I need a minute. James, go.
All right. Let's avoid that swat of justice from the rolled up newspaper or whatever and get on the ride. I want to say something too. I can't think of another attraction before or after this where you could go on it and have a completely different experience. Like, I mean, just Star Tours because it's randomized, but like, this is incredible.
It is. And that was really cool. I'd go on the right side first. And then when I got off, I'd go on the left side.
So what is track one? Which one is the first?
Track one is the right side.
Okay. So let's ride track one. Guests pass through the library, similar to the Disneyland version, then broke out of Toad Hall, passed through a barnyard, coming face to face with a sheep, a pig, and a couple of cows along the way. After passing through a small tunnel with several warning signs, Known as One-Way Street, guests made their turn into a central plaza. Traveling around the turn, the vehicles passed a policeman, signaling to stop with the whistle. Guests then made a right-hand turn into the courtroom as the judge, who in this version was actually a policeman holding a gavel, declared them guilty. Upon making another right-hand turn, the vehicles passed by several policemen and weasel convicts and then entered the weasel-filled jail cells. After winding through the cells, a guest emerged out into the Shireland. Is that how you pronounce that?
Shireland.
Yeah. Out into the Shireland, passing by a shootout between the police and some weasels. Using red lights to simulate gunfire, several of the police bears then moved aside, revealing a railroad crossing, complete with a ringing bell. The gate then moved, presumably breaking apart, and the vehicles made a right-hand turn onto the tracks. The vehicles traveled along the railroad tracks until getting hit by a train, with guests seeing the headlight of the locomotive. A door then opened, revealing the hell scene. Afterwards, the guest went through a door back into the boarding area. Well, this sounds pretty similar to the Disneyland version.
Yeah.
There's slight differences, but
it didn't look similar, but you're right, it just sounds similar. It sounds similar. I always went on this side first because it's funny about the fireplace thing. This side, you went, the doors that opened up to let you into the ride, it was the fireplace.
Oh, okay.
It opened up kind of like a secret passage type thing, and I really dug that. So, like, I like that one. The other side, you didn't go through a fireplace, you just went through doors. And I always thought going through the fireplace was cool.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. I like riding into fireplaces.
Right? I love hidden passages. But yeah, and it was, you know, it was done the same way with that 2D cardboard.
Yeah, cardboard. Flat panels.
Unfortunately, this did not get it didn't have a chance to get the cool, like, refurb update that our Mr. Toad has now. So it was kind of, it was really dated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do know that I did not like the Disney World version as much as I like the Disneyland one now.
Hmm. But, interesting.
But it still had that train. That train was awesome. Yeah. Oh, and you know what? It also, the courtyard that you went into, the central plaza of the town, mm-hmm. that they're talking about. I always thought that looked really cool. Cause like it was like the road went around the fountain in the middle of it. And it really did kind of give you the impression of being in a town square.
Right.
Cause I really liked that part.
That's also where the car on the other track would be as well, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's where you kind of met and like,
yeah. So it did seem like you were in a town.
Yeah. Yep, because you see another car on the road. So. But then there was track two on the left-hand side. From the boarding area into the plaza, track two passed through three scenes not seen in track one. Toad's trophy room, a kitchen, and a gypsy camp. I really liked the gypsy camp part, too. After going through the one-way street and rounding the plaza, instead of entering a courtroom, guests continued on and entered Winky's Tavern. Mr. Winky the bartender, who was holding two beer mugs, could then be seen ducking down, leaving the mugs spinning in the air. So that was one of the original things that was in the 1971 version of Disney World, and it was then taken from Disney World and put into the 1983 version of Disneyland.
Right.
The vehicles then made a right-hand turn, and guests could see the weasels hiding out in the tavern among the ale barrows. Following this, guests emerged into the night countryside. Passing by Ratty's house, where Ratty only appeared once and Moldy was seen on a boat, the vehicles reached a railroad crossing. The gate moved aside, the vehicles made a left-hand turn onto the railroad tracks. As on track one, the headlight of the locomotive was visible before the train hit the guests. The hell scene on this track was merely a mirror image of the track one hell scene.
Well, the first thing I have to say after watching, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I've never ridden this attraction during my infamous 1986 trip to Walt Disney World. I feel like I didn't go on anything because besides all I remember is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Dumbo. Those are the clear at Magic Kingdom. Those are my clear memories. I have lots of, and at Epcot, I remember Imagination and Universe of Energy. That's all. So, I don't know. My parents just really didn't take us on any rides. Why did we go all the way there and not go on any rides? I don't know.
Right?
But maybe I remember I got in trouble during that trip, and maybe that was part of it.
You were being punished. I was being punished. Going in your
what
eyes.
A punishment. You know, take us all the way to Disney World, and I can't go on any rides. That's like the worst punishment of my life. But anyways, so I never wrote this, but watching the videos, the hell scene seems like a lot different. For one, it seems shorter. It seems brighter. You know, there's a lot of darkness in the Disneyland version.
Mm-hmm.
And you can immediately see outside as soon as you enter the room.
I feel like that might have had a little something to do with the fact that the original one was probably, you know, was really dark. And they probably looked at it and were like, okay, this is a little too dark, you know. By then, Walt was older, and like they'd had a few years under their belts, you know. Like,
yeah, maybe. Maybe they wanted to make it not.
You know, maybe they just lightened it up a little bit. At the time that I lived in Florida, I lived there with my boyfriend, and he was a huge fan of gypsies and gypsy culture and gypsy everything. So he loved Track 2 because you got to go through a gypsy camp.
Right.
It was one of the things that we totally disagreed on when it came to Disney, was which track was better. Track 1 or Track 2 on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
I will say, I recall no appearance of any gypsies at all in the film when I watched it the other day. So that's a very random...
Yeah, like hell and a dragon.
Yeah, but that's rather random, like the gypsy camp. Like, unless that's something that was like briefly in the film that I just missed. I don't know. That was a little random.
I don't know. I do feel the need to watch the movie again, though.
Should I find it quite enjoyable myself?
Now that we've talked about it,
yeah, and even just explaining what happened in the movie, the ride is definitely not, it's not a retelling of the movie, but you know what the reference points are, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's good enough.
Yeah.
I think so. So moving on, I think we need to talk a little bit about the other films that come from this. When I was doing my research for this, I came across a film that I never heard of before. A live-action film from 1996 that was apparently released by Walt Disney called Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. This is a film that does not include animals, but includes humans in the role.
This is weird. it's weird. I haven't seen it, so I'm not really going to, like, I don't really have an opinion because I have not seen this movie, but it just seems very odd to me.
It is very odd. I mean, the oddest thing about it was that I never heard of it before.
Right? And I've never heard of it. I've never seen it until we started talking. Like, there's nobody in it, I don't think, that, like, I read, oh, well, John Cleese is in it, and Stephen Fry is in it.
Eric Idle's in it. They got a decent cast. I think basically what's going on here is that this was a British film released in 1996. It was not made by Walt Disney Productions. And it was called The Wind in the Willows as it was released in the United Kingdom based on the books. And I guess Disney got the rights to distribute on home video in the United States and decided to call it Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Right on. I have nothing to say about this movie. I haven't seen it. I don't know anything about it. I have no opinion.
All right. So let's move on to a little rumor that came up about 3 years ago that there has been no other peep of. I think it's worth mentioning that in 2012, an article came out on Deadline Hollywood stating that Disney is planning to do a live-action film of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, including CG characters.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
But nothing. Nothing else.
I mean, that just, like, I feel like this is something that's been going on a lot recently, especially in the internet news age, where, like, There's been so many attraction movie rumors that it's hard to take them seriously, especially something like this that I never heard of at all until doing research for this show. I missed this exclusive article.
yeah, me too. Man.
You know, so it's, you know, I would say this project's probably dead in the water. You know, I don't know.
Maybe they'll bring it back. Maybe after this podcast comes out and we breathe new life into people's interest in Mr. Toad and Wind of the Willows.
As I'm sure that we're doing.
Right? Like, maybe they'll decide. Roxy and James love this ride. We should totally make a movie.
Let's make a movie out of it. I don't know. It's kind of like, it's just weird. I'm sure it'd be interesting. I think the idea of, I mean, this is weird because in the past, the rumors of attraction films were based on, the attractions were not based on any films, you know, like there's a Jungle Cruise rumor that's been around, you know, things like that. Obviously Pirates is what started the whole shebang.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, there's something to work with here. This is like weird because this is already based on a movie.
Yes. So we're going to make a movie and we're going to make an attraction based off the movie. And then we're going to make a movie based off our attraction.
It's like, why not? Like, why is it, instead of, why is like, why don't we just like, oh, we're going to redo Wind in the Willows. Like, what does the attraction have to do with this new version of the film?
Yeah, it's weird. Although maybe in the new version of the film, they go to hell and there's a dragon.
Right. Maybe there's that. Yes.
Yeah, so. And gypsies. That's what it is.
In the new version,
there are gypsies and you go to hell and there's a dragon.
All right. Well.
All right. Let's do it, Disney.
Let's do it. Well, in short, like I said, I do believe the fact that you get hit by a train and go to hell makes this one of the creepiest Disney attractions of all time.
I concede.
I wore you down.
I love that you die and go to hell. I want one of those little demon thingies. I like this ride.
All right. Well, let's...
Fine family fun. I give it 2 thumbs up.
All right. 2 thumbs up. We talked about it long enough. Let's go for a wild ride. All right. James, I'm here with Roxy.
Hi, everybody.
We're about to go on a wild ride.
Mr. Toad's, to be exact. In case you didn't catch where we are.
In case you didn't. That was too vague of a reference. Going on a wild ride.
Thank you.
Somebody loves Roxy's hair.
Everybody loves Roxy's hair. But yeah, we're here in Toad Hall, kicking it under the chandelier, what are we going to get? What kind of madness?
Motor Mania.
We're waiting to get hit with Motor Mania, which apparently is too obscure a reference for me at this time of night, at this point in the trip. Because, yeah, we're right over my head.
That's all right. We're going to get Motor Mania, and it'll be right in your head because you'll be feeling the Motor Mania.
Right. Right. All right, I'm riding. Hold on, y'all.
Ah!
It was
Roxy, don't go that way.
I don't have any donuts.
Oh, let's go. It says keep out.
It's a sheet bridge. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now on London Lane. It's very bumpy. Let's see now.
Danger. Don't crash that wall. Oh,
I need a drink. I need a drink.
Oh, let's go to the pub.
Going to the pub. I need a drink. This guy's got some serious flair. Okay. Okay, apparently because I didn't have donuts.
Sentenced to prison.
Yeah, I didn't have donuts, so we're going to jail.
Oh, a train, we're going to die. Ah!
This is my favorite part of the ride. I love hell. Hello, Satan. Hello, little demon.
Look at the little devils.
Oh, hi, you're so cute. Big old dragon.
And we didn't really die.
We're okay. You guys have nothing to worry about. We are totally okay. I really want one of those little, like, demon devil thingies as a pet, though.
Yeah, it's a little cute. I want to tickle its belly.
They're cute.
Thank you. Alrighty, it's almost time for us to get up on out of here, but before we do, it's time for a little listener email. Roxy, take us away with this episode's email.
Hey, James. My name is Crystal Dungeon, and I found your podcast when I went looking for Fresh Talk Podcast or Fresh Baked Disney, which is a YouTube channel I love. I started listening to your podcast because I heard they would be on, and I found to my surprise, I really enjoyed it. And since then, I've listened to all the episodes and am almost all caught up. First of all, Crystal, thanks.
That's awesome.
Right? I hope that every person that finds this goes back and listens to almost every episode. I mean, even though I'm not in the earlier ones, but you know,
but they're still cool. They're still pretty good because I was
still
there.
Good. James is cool too.
Also, shout out to Sarah and David from Fresh Baked Disney, who were on some of our earlier episodes, including one of our most popular ones, the creepiness of Disneyland, or the creepy facts of Disneyland, or whatever it was. Whatever it is, it's episode 3. It's like one of our most downloaded episodes. So shout out to them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Crystal.
Yeah, thank
Not
you,
only
Crystal.
Thank you for listening, but thank you for writing in. We love getting emails, you guys. We love emails. Send us emails.
Yeah, you can... you know, any thoughts, concerns, feedback, complaints, whatever it is, you can email us by typing in your little email box, creepykingdom@gmail.com.
To check out our other podcast, my personal podcast, Roxy's World, James' personal podcast, the Even James Has a Podcast podcast, or the upcoming Curvy Cutie Chat podcast, go to monstermoviemedia.com.
That's right. I thought you were going to say, and my personal favorite podcast, this is Roxy's World.
It might be my favorite. I'm not telling you. My podcast might be my favorite podcast. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. But for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, all you need to do is go to creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time.
Keep it creepy.
I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.